Senate Bill 61, an act to allow for binding arbitration for school districts and employees under certain circumstances.
Senate Bill 61 has had its second reading and is up for final consideration. Are there any remarks?
Madam President.
Senator Staggers.
Well, first of all, in talking about Senate Bill 61, I think probably I should say something about the motivation behind why I'm submitting this bill before the body this afternoon. Several years ago, a school board and a teachers union in South Dakota came to an impasse. They could not agree on a settlement. There were basically eight issues that they were contesting with each other. And so what they decided to do is they decided to have an arbiter come in to try to resolve this problem. Eventually, we do have the arbiter making a decision. The arbiter found for the school board on three of the issues, and then the arbiter found for the teachers union on five issues. Well, from what I've said, you would assume that the problem was taken care of between the differences between the school board and the teachers union. However, that wasn't the case at all, because what happened is the school board didn't like the arbiter's decision and just simply imposed a contract on the teachers. Now, I think you can understand from this rather unfair situation that the teachers were very, very upset about this. And even today in the community where this happened, many teachers are still very upset about what happened a number of years ago. That's the reason we have Senate Bill 61 this afternoon, is to make sure that school districts and teachers unions keep their word. In other words, to make sure people are honest. The essence of Senate Bill 61 is found on page 2. On page 2, line 2. The last four words of line 2 says, "The parties may agree to arbitration, which shall be binding." And let me read that again to make sure everybody is absolutely clear what this bill is all about. The parties may agree to arbitration, which shall be binding. In other words, you have a situation where both parties have to agree to arbitration. And then if both parties agree to arbitration, then once a decision is rendered, they both have to live up to it. And I think you can well understand this is really the only fair thing about it. If you agree to something, then you should live up to the decision rendered by an arbitrator. Let me also say at the same time that if one party, for example, a school board, does not want to go into arbitration, there is not going to be arbitration. If the teachers union does not want to go to arbitration, there will be no arbitration. I think you can see that this is permissive legislation. This is not mandating anything. Now, we had a lot of good testimony in the Senate Education Committee, and we did have a number of opponents railing against this bill. But let me mention something about their argument. Implicit in all their arguments in Senate Education was really a distrust of school boards being able to make a decision whether to arbitrate or not to arbitrate. Myself, I really do have confidence in all the school boards in South Dakota that they can make a decision whether they want to arbitrate with the teachers union or not. They can make that decision. They are our elected officials. They know what's going on at the local level. Let me also say that I'm very gratified with the Senate Education Committee. They also trust the school boards of South Dakota, because Senate Bill 61 passed out of Senate Education by a vote of 7-0. This bill empowers school boards to make a decision as to whether they want to arbitrate or not. Also, of course, at the same time, this bill is saying that once a decision has been rendered by both the school board and the teachers union to arbitrate, that both parties, the teachers' union, the school board, has to live up to the arbitrator's decision. Having given you these remarks, I would hope that we would have a positive vote on Senate Bill 61 to allow school districts and teachers' union to voluntarily go into binding arbitration. Thank you very much.
For the remarks, Senator Everest.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, I'd like to respond to some of the comments that Senator Staggers has made about binding arbitration. First of all, he started out by talking about a school district that reached impasse and has left, that impasse has left a bitter taste in the mouths of many teachers. I also am very familiar with the school district that Senator Staggers is talking about, and I don't disagree with him. But that does not make binding arbitration a better alternative. And I think if you understand both the process today and the process that binding arbitration would bring upon us, you will appreciate the differences. The teachers and the school board, especially in the case that Senator Staggers was talking about, tried to negotiate an agreement. It became an issue involved with both money and certain requirements that were demanded of teachers, school lunch hour duty and other benefit programs besides the school lunch program or school lunch hours. When they could not reach agreement, they went to a situation called impasse. Eventually, in its very last stages, a facilitator steps in to help the process and allows each side to make written arguments on their positions. At impasse, the facilitator can pick and choose arguments and put together a solution. And that's exactly what happened. In the end, the teachers won 3, the school board won 2. And no one was very happy in this particular case, but each side won something. It might be somewhat near the compromises we call the best compromises because no one is happy. But in any case, it is a process that works and one in which each side comes up with their own solutions with the help of a facilitator. We need to improve that project, and I've brought bills before this legislature on occasion which would add some sunshine to that whole process. But the most extreme reaction to an impasse procedure would be binding arbitration. First of all, you're going to have one arbitrator who will make a single solution that they have devised, and it will be one that one side totally agrees with or totally disagrees with. So it may very well be the case in the school district that Senator Staggers was referring to, one side, for instance, the teachers could have been bitterly unhappy even with binding arbitration, and the school board members could have also found themselves in that position. But what's most important to me are the money issues. Because you could have an arbitrator that truly does not understand what's happening. There's no requirement of having an informed facilitator here. They'd be in the position of deciding, for instance, in Section 6, Subsection 2, to decide whether the school can afford specific proposals and the impact of a proposal on other services the school provides. Well, how would an arbiter determine this? Secondly, would you want them to? Section 6, subsection 4 calls for the arbiter to determine the, quote, public interest. What does that exactly mean? The locally elected school board and the legislature, not an executive agency with no stake in the local dispute, should determine what public interest is. This is a broad grant of authority to one person, and I think we truly need to stop and decide whether this is an option that is even worth pursuing, even if both sides would agree to it. They're also agreeing to extremely lengthy hearings in this process, and they're going to be very expensive. My best guess is that we're going to be back here making hearing requests for a special category of aid just to support everything that's involved in binding arbitration. I'm not saying the world is perfect, and I think we can improve it, but I am totally convinced that binding arbitration at this point in time is not the solution. I urge you to defeat Senate Bill 61. Thank you.
Further remarks?
Madam President.
Senator Huttmacher.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, I don't normally disagree with Senator Everest, and I didn't think that was that funny, but anyhow, it's amazing that I sat on a local school board for quite a while, and we did our own negotiating. And yes, binding arbitration used to be, and still is probably to some people, a naughty word. But you know, the thing about this is, when you talk about the process that we go through now, where each side can have their own give and take, and you take the good part out of the salary package and you give it to one side, and the other side wins the insurance argument, and I'm not sure that's the best process, because what happens is you can ask for the sky then. The sky's the limit. You're not losing anything if you go to arbitration, and this is the ceiling limit. You're not losing a thing. The worst they can do is tell you no, so why not ask for all of that? The way this bill is written, it's last best offer. And there's no pick and choose. You're either the winner or you're the loser on this deal. Somebody's going to be right and somebody's going to be wrong, so you can't go in there with a proposal where the sky's the limit. You have to be reasonable if you have any intentions of coming out of that arbitration with the results that you want. I think it's an excellent opportunity for both sides, if they agree to it in the beginning, to do something that's right. I don't think it's going to increase taxes. It's completely permissive. If the school district doesn't want to do it, if the teachers don't want to do it, they don't have to agree to it. And we added amendment. We passed it last year out of this body. We did add the amendment, and it's in the bill this year, that there can't be a grievance filed if they fail to agree on the question of binding arbitration in the ground rules. I think this is a good bill, and I would urge your support. Thank you.
Further remarks? Senator Koskin.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, I rise in opposition to this bill, and I would just ask those that are thinking about supporting it to either amend the bill to require a may, or to put a may in, or excuse me, strike the may and put a shall require binding arbitration. It only takes a one-word change, and as Senator Kermit Staggers said on page 2, line 2, the parties may, you might as well change that to shall, because that is the intent, long range, to require binding arbitration in the state. And I can tell you it will be a succession of events that will happen, because this will not work. There will be people dissatisfied with this process a year from now, 2 years from now, depending on what governor we have. If we have a governor that supports the teachers' associations, he'll appoint administrative law judges that serve in the Department of Labor. I think that's the right terminology, but in the Department of Labor that supports those. And so the school boards will not like this process. On the other hand, if it goes the other way, the associations won't like that process. And so we will be asked in a year or two or three to change that to shall instead of a may. If we believe that the boards are not in the best position to negotiate these agreements today, we might as well go ahead and require binding arbitration. Let's just make that decision. Those boards have to answer to their taxpayers. They have to answer to their teachers. They have to retain their teachers. They're the ones balancing that. But if we think somebody in Pierre can do it better, let's make that statement today, change the may to a shall, and get it over with. But until somebody makes that amendment, I urge you to vote no.
Further remarks? Senator McIntyre.
Thank you, Madam President. I'm not sure where to start with my arguments, because I've heard so many misconceptions being voiced in the previous speakers that I'm not sure which ones to start with. Section 9 specifically says that if the decision of an arbitrator is going to be subject to the limitations and so on and so on, but any decision of the arbiter shall be construed as a decision of administrative agency and may be appealed in the manner provided in Chapter 126. In other words, if an arbitrator makes an arbitrary decision that turns out to be dangerous, there are provisions to take care of that. It also limits the decision to would not be enforceable if it violates any statutory limitation on the school district's funds. In other words, the school district is not going to be bankrupt because of an arbitrator's decision. I think Senator Huckmacher, I'd like to expand a little bit on his comments. I've sat in these bargaining sessions when we had the impasse, and I know what does happen, and I know what goes on, and I have lived in a community where you have had to work with the results of that bad feeling and what it's like in a school system when the teachers realize that they have been done in by a board that just refuses to behave reasonably. When you are in a process where you know that your decision as to what your final offer is going to be, and you know that the entire package is going to hinge on whether or not you are reasonable in your approach, I can tell you very forcefully that that decision is not easily come by. You worry and you struggle about what can I do for the people that I'm representing that is going to be reasonable and is going to be acceptable to some third party who is impartial and is going to make a judgment. Both sides are going to have to be thinking that line. What is the most reasonable offer that I can make that is going to be the best for my constituency, whether it be the school board or the teachers' union? Both sides are going to be finally having to face the fact of reality. My contention would be that if we were to pass this and if we're to go into effect, we would find that very frequently, more frequently, that we would not have an arbitrator involved in the final decision because the board and the teachers' unions would have come to an amiable, friendly decision because by trying to find common ground, they would find that they would be in a position where they would not have to call for the services of an arbitrator because they had been able to use common sense and come together and done what was best for the employees and for the employers and for the constituents and finally for the school's children that they're trying to all do the best for. So all of the arguments that you've heard against binding arbitration, it's fear of the unknown, I suppose, misinformation, definitely. Reference was made of an earlier incident in a community that Ms. Senator Staggers and Senator Everest and I are all very familiar with. The most recent case where this happened, they found for a number of the arbitrator, the person that did the analysis, found in favor of the board on several incidents, found in favor of the teachers on other incidents, and the board went ahead and imposed its final offer in each one of those incidents. We're still living with the ill humor, the mistrust, the bad morale as a result of that decision several years later. The present system is not working properly. Please vote for this bill.
Further remarks? Senator Everest.
Thank you, Madam President, and I agree with Senator McIntyre about what happened in our community, but I do have a legitimate question. Could I have a question of Senator
McIntyre? State your question.
Thank you. If you look at Section 6, subparagraph 3, and the arbiter is not limited, it does not limit, quote, the power to levy taxes to the existing tax structure. So wouldn't it be possible for an arbitrator to say the district needs to opt out, there's an insufficient tax base? And wouldn't that decision then be of opting out inadvertently almost be placed in the hands of a third party who really wouldn't have the expertise to make that decision?
Senator McIntyre, do you choose to respond?
If I understand the question correctly, it's my impression that that would be covered in Section 9, because the school district would not be placed in any position where they would be forced into a... Let me get my language correct here. Section 9 says the decision of the arbitrator is final and binding, subject to the limitation that no decision is valid or enforceable if its implementation would be in violation of any statutory limitation on the school district's funds. I would think that that would cover any eventuality that you have just, that, as I understand what you asked me, I think that that would cover that. I don't think school districts will be placed in jeopardy by allowing this very reasonable kind of behavior to occur. This system of bargaining decision making works very effectively in many other settings. It's only in the public employer sector that we are not allowed to do what is a reasonable way of coming to the best solution to, admittedly, a very difficult problem. What is the best way to deal with employees and employers and the constituents and the children of the district? I think this allows for reasonable, reasoned responsible behavior on the part of a school board and the part of the employees. I think it's a win-win situation no matter how we approach it.
Senator Everts, you have the floor.
Thank you, and I agree that the language in Section 9 would cover some situations where there's a statutory limitation on a school district's funds. But the issue of whether to opt out isn't really, quote, a statutory limitation any more than the amount of the opt out or anything associated with it. We've simply given the school district's grant of authority to opt out if they hold an election to do so, or at least the school board can make that decision. And then, of course, that's subject to a referendum. But we've given the school board that power, so I think we've also given an arbiter that power under binding arbitration. And that possibility, I think, is not a wise one. But thank you.
Further remarks?
Madam President.
Madam President.
Senator Huttmacher. Sorry.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, I guess if Senator Everts is in doubt or doesn't think the wording is fine, you know, we could put in there that this means that the district doesn't have to opt out, because that's our intent of the meeting right now. So if you would be more comfortable, Senator Everts, we could sure do that.
Further remarks? Further remarks? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is final consideration of Senate Bill 61. As your name is called, those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Albers.
No.
Apa.
Aye.
Bogue.
No.
Rose.
Aye.
Brown.
No.
Craddock.
Aye.
Dugard.
Aye.
DeHuig.
Aye.
Dennert.
Aye.
Sorry.
Aye.
Dietrich Larry.
No.
Dietrich Elmer.
No.
Drake.
No.
Duxbury.
Aye.
Everest.
No.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hagen.
Aye.
Ham. Huttmacher.
Aye.
Cleven.
No.
Ketzel.
Aye.
Koskin.
No.
Madden.
No.
McCracken.
Aye.
McIntyre.
Aye.
Moore. Munson.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Putnam.
No.
Reedy.
Aye.
Staggers.
Aye.
Sutton. Simmons.
Aye.
Bitter.
No.
Valesky.
Aye.
Whiting. Senator Ham. Senator Ham. Madam President, ayes 20, nays 12, excused 3.
Senate Bill 61 has received a majority vote of the members elect and is declared passed. Questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed correct.